This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We are back. We're blaring Freebird, celebrating the United States. 3-1 win over Canada in the Four Nations face-off last night. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Bridget Brew. Andrew Raycroft is on the road. He will be calling in at some point. He's not in studio this week. He might be licking his wounds after his.
Yeah, he's not country. Here to defend himself, so.
Yeah, Razor's going to need a week to regroup. probably hoping that maybe a rematch Thursday goes better. We'll see if we get that.
I'm sure he has a lot of Boston. Thoughts on the goaltending.
Yeah, definitely. That would definitely be interesting to get his thoughts. We will be touching on the Bruins a little bit, but the big story in hockey right now, obviously, is the Four Nations face-off, which has been awesome. I had high expectations for this, and it has still exceeded them. That game last night opens with three fights in the first 9 seconds, which, by the way, you don't get in Olympic hockey because...
No. We were talking about this on the podcast the other day. I was like, I don't think they're allowed to fight because in international hockey, you can't fight. And turns out, we said, we won't know until they try. And then they came out right off the gate. I was kidding. I didn't think we would see it. But I guess there was a group chat going before the game and all premeditated, obviously, when all of it happens in the first 9 seconds. But, I want to know what that group chat looked like.
Yeah, it's the USA's version of the Bash Brothers with Matthew and Brady Tkachuk.
JT Miller.
And JT Miller is as the third wheel there, apparently, in that group chat. Right off the opening faceoff, it's Matthew Tkachuk of the Florida Panthers, Brandon Hagel of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So two NHL rivals and now obviously national rivals drop the gloves right off the draw. And then immediately off the next faceoff, it's Brady Tkachuk dropping with Sam Bennett, Matthew Tkachuk's NHL teammate, by the way. So you get, Ottawa, Florida there. And then you get, 7 seconds, maybe not even, of an actual shift with a shot on goal. And JT Miller just crashes into the crease like a bowling ball. And
he's like, no. What?
Yeah.
Nobody else was, he's like, no, to his own team. Just let me do this first. We had a plan.
Yeah.
You're ruining the plan. And I was under the impression that the group chat included the guys that they fought against, too. Like, hey, Sam Bennett, he's in here. Like, hey, Sam, I'm gonna knock you on your butt as soon as we get out there.
But, yeah, so if this was the Olympics or any other IIHF competition, world championships, world juniors, whatever, dropping the gloves is an automatic game misconduct. You're done for the night.
And a lot of times suspended for the next game.
Yep.
So.
But this tournament is not an IIHF tournament. It is completely NHL run. So except for a couple rule changes, which maybe we'll talk about at some point, mostly regarding overtime. But otherwise, it's NHL rules. So fighting allowed, and you get it right off the draw. So anyone who... I think if you watched the games Wednesday and Thursday Canada, Sweden, USA, Finland. You already knew this was not the glorified All-Star game that some hockey fans seem to fear that it might be. I never had that fear because when, like, all these guys were saying it, when they put on their country's jerseys, they treat it like the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, they are all in, all out. And you saw that in those first two games. But then you really see it in this USA-Canada game. And we knew we would. You had Sweden-Finland, another rivalry game, as the appetizer earlier in the day. But USA-Canada, it's like this has been, I think this was the most anticipated, most hyped international hockey game that we've had in 9 years, since the 2016 World Cup of Hockey. Like, these guys have been waiting for this. Most of these guys weren't on those teams back in 2016. Obviously, some were, but there's been a lot of turnover. There's a lot of NHL stars who are just now getting their first opportunity to do this. And you can tell the way that they're embracing this and just giving it everything.
Well, and we'll play some of the comments from post-game. And Matt Tkachuk said, you know, one of his comments was, this is our time. Like, they haven't had a chance, this generation of American players, really to play international hockey much at all. So, you know, they're taking advantage of it. They're doing what they can to make a mark and be, and certainly was a memorable game on Saturday that I think everyone's going to, you know, have that in their mind. Oh, remember that was the game that started with three fights? Like, it's very uncommon, so it sticks out immediately. And you look at who is leading in it, it's both the Tkachuks, who also in the game prior scored two goals. So it feels like their team, honestly. Like, they're dragging that team with their own personality. And normally we in Boston are not talking very glowingly about these two, especially Matthew Tkachuk. But for once, we're sitting here going, rooting for him in a fight. I'm just sitting here rooting for him, and it's, you know, you have to. But and obviously we're both American. We'll get our Canadian back at some point, but, and we're gonna have to like rib him a little bit as when he calls in. But I want to get your impressions.
Should I have saved Freebird to just blast that right into Razor's
No,
calling?
We'll come in with the American national anthem.
I'll keep it ready, Scott.
We'll come in with the national anthem on that segment. So, but no, I want to get your thoughts on Charlie McAvoy and the game he had, because the Tkachuks also spoke glowingly after the game about Charlie McAvoy. He had 5 hits. He was physical. He just looked like peak McAvoy.
Yeah, he certainly helped set the tone in this game as well, emotionally, physically, in a different way, right? He didn't drop the gloves. He wasn't one of the fighters, but
good thing.
Sure. Yeah. You don't need to see that, but, yeah, McAvoy, not really much of a fighter. Like, he's done it a couple times in his career, but not much. But he's on there for Canada's first goal to make it 1-0, where it's a nice pass from Drew Doughty to Connor McDavid. And I tweeted, like, if that's anyone else, Charlie McAvoy is probably back and able to get over in time to at least seal that play off, kind of ride the guy into the corner. Unfortunately for him, it's Connor McDavid. Going full speed, and no one's catching him. He got about a half a step on Zach Werenski, a half a step on Charlie McAvoy. That's all he needs. He's gone. He roofs it on Connor Hellebuck. 1-0 Canada. What does McAvoy do the next time he's out there against Connor McDavid a couple shifts later?
Nails him.
Absolutely hammers him along the boards. Just like it looked like one of the old NFL like jacked up segments. Like, McDavid gets lifted off his skates, just completely stopped dead in his tracks. And later in that shift, the USA scores. Jake Guentzel to tie the game 1-1.
Our guy Pretzel.
Pretzel, yeah. Bridget has for a long time called Guentzel.
I'm going to call him that today and see if he responds.
Yeah.
Practice.
By the way, the tournament does now shift to Boston today with practices, games tomorrow, and then, of course, the championship game on Thursday. So, yeah, Bridget and I are both heading over to practices after the show. But yeah, McAvoy has another big hit on McDavid a little bit later in the game. He knocks down Sidney Crosby behind the net at one point. Like, I think he knocked down Brandon Hagel at one point. Like you said, 5 hits. That tied his season high. His season high with the Bruins this year was 5 in a game.
And they weren't just like flybys. They were
no,
solid.
These were hard hits. And yeah, like, absolutely helped set the tone. And it really felt like that hit on McDavid was like something of a turning point, right? Like, Canada has momentum, 1-0, And that was the, like, here's the pushback. And now we're ready to go. So
I think hitting Connor McDavid like that and Matt Tkachuk cross-checking Sidney Crosby is like the equivalent of stomping on the Canadian flag. Like, those are the two Canadians that they're like, these are our Canadians. And they disrespected both of them. And en route to a win. And I don't know about you, but towards the end of the game, before the pretzel empty net goal, I was getting nervous because this Canada team, the fact that they were held to one goal is so impressive. That team has some of the best goal scorers ever. And Hellebuck really, really impressed me. I don't think either of the other goalies are seeing any time. I mean, it should be Hellebuck the whole way.
I mean, maybe Monday night, because that's now a
you're right,
all things considered, a meaningless game for the U.S., who has already qualified for the championship game.
Yeah, because everybody else has 2 points. U.S. has 6. They got all the possible points up to this point. And so, yeah, I guess that would be the day maybe to play someone else. But I personally think they should just play Hellebuck the whole time.
Yeah, because you also have 2 days off before the championship on Thursday. So it's not, he shouldn't really be tired. Like, even if he plays Monday, yeah, that's 3 games in 5 days. But then you have 2 days to rest before the championship. So, McAvoy saw a lot of Connor McDavid in that game. Not just the hits, but just in terms of matchups. He was on the ice against him a lot. And started the game on a pairing with Zach Werenski, which had basically been the USA's top pairing. And then as that game went on, you saw more of McAvoy with Noah Hanifin, local guy from Norwood, went to Boston College. And that became the pairing that they were using a lot against Connor McDavid's line.
I thought the BCBUD pair.
Yeah, and I thought Noah Hanifin had a great game as well. I was wondering after Thursday.
He made that kick save as well.
Yeah. Jacob, our producer, by the way, BC guy. Jacob, I'm not going to rub in right off the bat that BU won the bean pot or anything. So
you just did. And I went to UMass, so we got all Hockey East people here today.
I thought Noah Hanifin like might come out of the lineup after Thursday because I thought he had a kind of shaky first game. Good thing they left him in because he was all over McDavid. Like his skating allowed him to kind of match him stride for stride. So, yeah, a huge game for the USA defense, slowing Canada down, and a huge game for Connor Hellebuck in net. By the way, another Hockey East product, UMass Lowell.
Yep. All three of their
sticker.
Goalies.
He's got a sticker on the back of his helmet of the Riverhawk.
Yep. He was the first ever recipient of the Mike Richter Award, which goes to the country's best goalie back, I don't know, 10 or so years ago. And
yeah, like 13, 14.
Yeah, over 10 years ago then. But since then, Jeremy Swayman's gotten it as well. So two of those guys were best goalie in college when they were there. And all three of them went to Hockey East because Ottinger is a BU guy and Swayman's a Maine guy. And there's 9 Hockey East guys. I feel like this is my propaganda. I don't know if you can sense it, but I work for Hockey East, so I have a whole show about it.
No, I'm good with any and all Hockey East propaganda. By the way, Hockey East going to get 6 teams in the NCAA tournament this year, maybe, which is pretty crazy.
They have 7 inside the cut line right now, which would be the first time ever.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll get 7, but 6.
UMass is, like, pushing right now.
Yeah. Okay, back to Four Nations. Back to just how much of a win this tournament has been for the NHL and for hockey in general.
Take
like, it. It's crazy. By the way, if you want tickets for that championship game Thursday, they will be taking your money. Because, Jacob, what did you text me earlier is the get-in price?
$781 as of last night, and I'm sure that price has climbed this morning.
Yeah, worth it.
Yeah, so if you didn't buy tickets well in advance,
just sell your car right now, and you'll be able to make it. Scott and I say take my money jokingly. We have credentials, so we don't have to pay, which is, you know, I feel like I am bragging, but it's great. I was so jealous of the people that I'm friends with that are other members of the media that were at that game yesterday. It was one of the worst FOMO moments that I've ever had.
Yeah, there are some perks of this job, and getting to be there for that game Thursday is gonna be one of them. So
it's essentially like you're going to a gold medal game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So like one of the pushbacks I heard on this tournament was, well, it's not I know what they're playing for in the Olympics. They're playing for a gold medal. Everyone wants an Olympic gold medal. Kids, you dream of the Stanley Cup, but you also dream of that. So people get that. They know what the incentive is. I heard a lot of, like, why does anyone care about this? Like, what is the Four Nations face-off? What are they even playing for? What's the trophy? Bridget, I still don't know what the trophy is that the winner gets.
I've seen a picture of it.
I haven't.
Not super impressive. But.
I haven't seen it. I don't know what it's called. Quite frankly, it doesn't matter. Like, all that matters is that you have the best players in the world from these four countries. We know there's no Russia, there's no Czech Republic. Okay, fine. Put that aside. The best players in the world from these four countries just giving it their all. They care. Like, that's all that matters is they care. And I think when the players care and when they're fully invested, fans are going to care because you're going to watch and you're going to be like, this is awesome.
There's a trophy.
Bridget has pulled up a picture of the... You know, it kind of looks like the like Tri-Wizard Cup in Harry Potter.
It does. I like it. I like Harry Potter. So I don't think it has a name except for just Four Nations Face-Off Trophy. And I see people suggesting to name it after Johnny Gaudreau.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Team USA has incorporated the Gaudreau family into the team. Obviously, Johnny probably would have been on this team. Mm-hmm. So his dad has been around the team, Guy Gaudreau. Was at their practice, or at least one of their practice, probably two of them up in Montreal.
I assume he'll be at the Boston venue as well.
I think so.
Yeah.
A lot to get into here. I want to hear from people on Four Nations, on what you've thought of the tournament so far. If you want to talk about the Bruins, we haven't even touched on Brad Marchand on Canada.
He was going to fight.
Or Elias Lindholm on Sweden yet, so... we did touch on McAvoy a little bit. You can call in about him. We will touch on the Bruins. We are, you know, at our heart, a Bruins show. But obviously, they've been on break for a week, and Four Nations has taken over. So we're starting there. You can give us a call, 617-779-7937. Text us at 37937. Razor will be joining us in a little bit. I'm Scott. That's Bridget. We'll be right back after Jacob has your train.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That is how USA-Canada started Saturday night up in Montreal.
That better be how the championship game starts.
I don't know.
That better be.
Can you do that again?
Yes. Yes.
Maybe. Yeah.
I'm going to ask if I can get in the group chat.
Get the scoop.
So that I know what's coming.
So that was Matthew Tkachuk starting with Brandon Hagel. A few seconds later, it was brother Brady going with Sam Bennett. And then it was JT Miller and Colton Parayko.
Colton Parayko is a big boy.
He is.
He's huge.
I don't think he's usually much of a fighter, but just the size alone makes
him an intimidating presence there. I mean, he killed JT Miller.
Yeah.
That was the one fight that I was like, oh, no, they did. U.S. did not win that fight.
No. But they did win the game, most importantly.
Mm-hmm.
3-1. I think we heard it referenced in the call that we played from Sean McDonough, which, by the way, good to hear Sean McDonough back. He had missed a lot of time. I think they had said due to an illness, so great to hear him back. I think Sean's one of the best. But, yeah, that ended. Canada, in best-on-best international hockey, with Sidney Crosby in the lineup, had won 26 straight games before last night. Going all the way back to the group stage of the 2010 Olympics when the U.S. beat them. So Canada will obviously be hoping for a repeat of that because Canada did, unfortunately, win the gold medal that year on Sidney Crosby's golden goal in overtime.
I hate to say it, that was one of my favorite hockey moments.
Bridget, get out of here. Go.
I was a huge Sidney Crosby fan back then. So.
All right, well, you can move to Canada.
I will. You know what? It feels like Canada here this year. It's been the coldest winter.
Well, yeah. It was a fun drive-in this morning.
Oh, my God. Terrible.
Just got to go slow. But, yeah, some highways, I would say, were plowed better than others. Hit a couple stretches where things got a little hairy. But
should we ask Maria how it is in Watertown right now?
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's go to the phones. And, of course, lead off with Maria from Watertown.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm so excited. I feel like the official start of the second half of the season, having your show back on, and it is crappy, crappy, crappy in Watertown. I should be packing my golf clothes. Instead, I was outside shoveling snow, sleet, and ice this morning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Maria, you're going to Florida, right?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, and I can't wait to get out of here.
It's a good move.
Good. Well, not great timing because it would have been nice to catch the Four Nations games live since they're in our backyard, but I'll be watching them outside at a nice bar. So I'm content with that. But yesterday's game was loads of fun. I almost forgot how much fun it is to watch a hockey game based on, you know, the up and downs that we've been subjected to with the Bruins this season. And, you know, Charlie McAvoy was very, very impressive in the game last night. And I think you know what my question is going to be, but in case you don't, here is my question. Where is that Charlie McAvoy when he's wearing the spoked B? Because we don't see it enough, and we need to see it more. You know, I understand this is a different potential level of play, and, you know, you're playing for pride and you're playing for your country, but aren't you prideful when you pull that Bruins jersey over your head and your employer is paying you over $9 million? It would be nice if you brought a little bit of that to your regular recurring game. That's all. So thanks again, and I'm looking forward to Sunday mornings.
Yeah, thank you, Maria. Look, if you're the Bruins, you're hoping that this tournament jumpstarts Charlie McAvoy, and he brings us back because, yes, there is a level that you elevate to in a competition like this where everyone said it, like, guys are treating this like the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the counterpoint here would be you can't do that for 82 games across an NHL regular season. Like, I think Paul Maurice said this last year, maybe the year before, after the Bruins-Panthers series, with how physical those games were. He was like, you can't play this way for 82 games because guys would be dead halfway through the season. Mm. So there is an element of that where you can bring your game to a different level. You can ramp up the physicality to a different level when the games are more important. And again, that comes back to like how these guys are treating this tournament. Is this is more important than the NHL regular season to them, all of them across the board. And, but like that said, like, I think, yes, we all agree Charlie McAvoy has another regular season level than even what we've seen this year.
100%.
Yeah. And you hope some of that comes back. Like, you hope that playing with and against the best players in the world, what I want to happen is like for that to remind Charlie McAvoy of what he can be, which is one of the most dominant defensive defensemen in the NHL, because he's been that before. Like, this is a guy who has two top five finishes in Norris Trophy voting that were deserved. Those were not undeserved finish, like, recognition. He has been that before. It's kind of been a couple years since we've really seen it. I think he's been better than some fans who, you know, really drag him across the coals. But there is clearly another level that he can get to.
Yeah, and to me, it's not even if he brings 100% of that, but just brings some of that when he comes back to Boston. And I think, especially the physicality, I think that's something that he could add to his game a little bit more. And he has in the past. That's the thing. It's like we've seen him do it in the past, and that's why sometimes people are critical of him this season when they're not seeing it as much. And I want him to learn from Zach Werenski how to run a power play.
Yeah, that we'll see if that happens. That might, there's definitely a bigger conversation. That's probably harder to fix in season. Like, ramping up the physicality, you can do that. Like, that's just an effort thing. Running the power play is, you know, there's a technique there, and there's clearly things that McAvoy still has to learn in that area. I think this entire Bruins team has to learn when it comes to running a power. Like, you look at the power plays in this tournament, or just focus on USA and Canada, just the way that they move the puck and how quickly they're entering the zone with speed, with guys on the same page. And then, like, you look at the Bruins power play when it's just over and over, like, it's one guy into the zone and other guys, like, caught standing still at the blue line. And, you know, the puck slows down. The Bruins power play has been such an enormous issue all year. It's like, they might just need the offseason reset. Like, I don't know if they're going to be able to fix that this year. But
I mean, obviously, I was kind of joking, Scott. Yeah. But, like, I didn't think he was actually going to pull out a pen and paper on the bench and, like, take notes. But I would encourage it. But I don't think it's actually going to happen. But, yeah, you watch this power play work. And you watch how they are able to use the bumper and how good Jack Eichel is at facilitating a lot of movement and passing. And even both the Tkachuks were great on the power play in that first game. So when they made the adjustments to put them together. And, yeah, it's definitely different than watching the Boston power play.
Let's go to Harry and Quincy here, another call, who has some thoughts, I think, on Canadian goalies. What's up, Harry?
Good morning. Great talk.
Thank you.
I'm enjoying Four Nations, watching it all. And I don't really care about making comparison to our players on the club team. But, yeah, what happened in Montreal, Canadians in general, goaltending. I know, Ben, like I said, Bennington, yes, he's a Stanley Cup winning goalie, but I just don't see it. He let them down last night, which I'm happy for. I'm a U.S. guy. But anyways, I figured I'd hang up and listen. Where's the Brodeurs, the Fjords, the Lois? I'm crying out loud. Anyways, you guys keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Harry.
Yeah,
my
lot,
dad
Harry.
Said the same thing, by the way. My dad was like, Bennington, this is their top guy. And obviously he did win a Stanley Cup against the Bruins, so we know how good he was that year. But he's not as good as Hellebuck, and he's no one's as good as Hellebuck right now. But yeah, Binnington being their best goalie and the one that they've been going to and probably will continue to go to over. And the other goalies are Aiden Hill and Sam Montembeault from Vegas and Montreal. It's a clear advantage for Team USA in net with the three goalies that they have. And we were talking about this on the skate pod the other day. Not only is it in this tournament, but the goalies that are coming up for Team USA that will eventually be the next guys to take over that are in college right now and they're young, like Trey Augustine and Jacob Fowler, those are American guys. And they're developing U.S. goalies so well that I think it's going to be the U.S.'s strength for a while.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good question to ask Razor, too, when we get him on. Because, yeah, it has been a big advantage, and on paper it certainly looked that way coming in. Now, there were some questions there where Connor Hellebuck has had some shortcomings in the Stanley Cup playoffs, especially the last 2 years. He has really struggled for Winnipeg, back-to-back first round exits for the Jets, even after a Vezina trophy last year. So I think he answered some of those questions. I thought he was really good. You know, maybe you want to save on McDavid's goal, but That's nitpicking
it's
a bit.
It's,
I mean, he roofs. He's coming full speed and he roofs a backhander. Like, that's a tough one.
Yeah, you try to stop McDavid's goal,
yeah.
Scott. I want to see you stop that.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, anytime it's McDavid, you go, but it's McDavid. So,
but yeah, I mean, the first U.S. goal, Jake Gensel's, it's a low angle and he beats him 5-hole. Dylan Larkin's was, it's a 2-on-1. It's a really good shot. Maybe you say you want to save, but that's a hard, that low blocker just inside the post off the rushes. That's a tough one to stop. So I don't bash Binnington as much for that. But yeah, I mean, you look at those three goalies for Canada coming into the tournament. You mentioned them, Binnington, Hill, Montembeault, and all of them had save percentages of 900 or worse this season. Like,
that's not good.
Meanwhile, you have Hellebuck up at, I think, 927, at or near the top
Anything
of the league.
Anything over 920 is an elite, like, that's where your elite goalies fall.
Yeah, like, I would even say, like, maybe 9, because teams are scoring so much more, like, even 915 is really, really good now. But, yeah, 900 and below is tough. Like, that's average to slightly below average.
And even in terms of analytics as well, U.S. expected goals was only at 0.83 last night, and Canada's was at 2.56. So you could see it both with the eye test and with the analytical stats.
Yeah, Canada had shots were pretty even. Canada had the better chance. Like, Hellebuck was tested more than Binnington. There were some real, like, high-danger point-blank saves that Hellebuck had to make, no pun intended, but Braden Point alone had two or three of them right in front of the net. So, It was an advantage for the U.S. And, you know, I know in Canada, like, there's some second guessing of why didn't they take Logan Thompson, who's having a really good season for Washington and statistically would be their best goalie, but he's not there. So, you know, they kind of rolled with the cup winners in Binnington and Hill, two guys who have won a cup, and you bank on that big game experience and didn't pay off last night. Well, we'll see. There could still be a championship game to go.
It looked like they were going to be, you know, rolling with him. He got an assist on the McDavid goal. I don't know if you noticed that, but he had an assist last night. That's pretty rare, but he's a guy that can break the puck out pretty well for a goalie. I think that Hellebuck he's a step ahead of the rest of the guys. And I mean, there's some good goalies on the other teams as well. And obviously Ullmark missing, or he's there, right? But he's not played.
Well, he played yesterday. So yes, Sweden has its own little goaltending. Sweden and Finland both changed goalies. So Sweden starts with Filip Gustafsson. I thought he gave up a couple tough ones. They pull him, but the coach says it's because he was sick. He said it wasn't performance-based. Ullmark comes in, so we'll see who they decide to go with against the U.S. Monday night in a game that might matter for them. Like, depending on what Canada does against Finland earlier in the day, how that game goes, Sweden might potentially already be eliminated, or they might have a must-win to get to the championship. So big decision there, but you could see Linus Ullmark get the start against the U.S., and Finland changed goalies after the first game. They had Jussi Saros in there against the U.S., got lit up, obviously. U.S. wins 6-1. And then they went to Kevin Lankinen, and he was really good against Sweden. Let's take another call here. Tom in Boston, I think, wants to touch on Don Sweeney, who is both the Bruins general manager and Team Canada's general manager. What's up, Tom? Tom there?
Should be. All right.
All right. Well, we'll put him on hold, see if, maybe go back to him. But, we're going to have Razor coming on next. You know what? Let's break a minute early here, get more time with Razor on the other side. Colin, 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. We're talking Four Nations. We're talking USA Hockey. We will get to some Bruins. I want to get kind of, you know, how we feel about this team at the break, coming back, just 7 games till the trade deadline. Huge moment for this team and for Don Sweeney, what he decides to do. So we'll be back with Razor on the other side right after this. That was Matthew Tkachuk talking about the United States 3-1 win over Canada. Saying other than Stanley Cup final, biggest moment of his hockey career. I saw his brother Brady said that this was the biggest game of his career. Obviously, he has not had the playoff experience that brother Matthew has. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Bridget Prue. And on the phone is Andrew Razor Raycroft. What's up, Razor?
Good morning, gang. How we doing? How's the first show kicking off?
I mean, we're doing great, but we are American, and I'm wondering how you are doing, because, that's a big rivalry. Were you on the broadcast, by the way?
No, I will be in Boston. I'm up here at an alumni event here. So we had a watch party last night, and I watched it with many Canadians. Obviously the start was good, the U.S., they ground them down, didn't give them a lot, and a little more somber here, even though the start of the game was awesome. And for the record, I'm American as well.
Yeah.
So you can't get me out of the country.
Razor, if the U.S. wins a rematch on Thursday, like, you can just jump right over and just, you know, you can just leave Canada behind.
It sounds like he's already doing that.
Already.
No. I can't completely do that. My mom and dad would be very upset. But there's certainly enough reasons that the U.S. is a place of home. The rematch, that's the key. The rematch now needs to happen, and it's up to Canada to do that. They've kind of got a bit of a sneaky game tomorrow morning against Finland. It's 1:00. They have to travel today and come off of that loss. So They've got to figure that one out so we get to have that repeat on Thursday.
Yeah, Razor, where do you see, so U.S. wins that 3-1. Is that as simple as they got better goaltending last night, or where else did you see an advantage for the U.S.? Like, where, what does Canada have to improve if there is a rematch?
There isn't much there, right? It is probably as simple as, I mean, someone can make it more difficult or dig into it more and change the lines. They're talking about spreading out the McDavid, Crosby, McKinnon, and move it through the lineup. But I think you watched last night. I mean, anybody can make a play at any single time out on the ice, and that's what's so great about best on best. I think at the end of the day last night, Hellebuck got the better opportunities against him. He made the more saves, and the U.S. made two plays. There was a bad line change. Essentially, like, the one mistake that the entire game had was one bad line change, and that's what happens best on best. Someone's going to make you pay. It's not a fourth liner who dumps it into the corner on a 2-on-1. It's Dylan Larkin who scores a bunch of goals. So I think it is as simple as that. Of course, we get to analyze it for a week, but the players are so good out on the ice that it can go either way when these guys play every night.
And we wanted to ask you, too, what you thought of the goalie depth. And, you know, first with USA and Canada, but then also, obviously, Sweden and Finland have great goaltenders as well. But coming into the tournament, it did seem like that was an advantage for the U.S. What do you think of the guys that America has? And do you think that maybe we see someone different in the Monday game because they already clinched?
I could see them. I don't know. Hellebuck loves to play, but you could make a good case to have Ottinger play. Absolutely. He's been there. He's the second guy. You could, you know, it's only 5 days for Hellebuck. So if you did want to mix it up, if Hellebuck felt comfortable and felt like that would be a normal NHL week for him, and 4 days isn't too long of rest for him, then yes, you would play Ottinger. Great point. Goalie depth is kind of irrelevant in a four-game tournament. That's the good news for Canada, because certainly the U.S. is dominating in that aspect of these two rosters. It's a drop-off, no question, in Canada. And obviously, there's a lot of people asking questions why, and there's a lot of different ideas and thoughts, but certainly worldwide, the biggest gap that's been closed in hockey has been goaltending from all the other countries to Canada, and we're seeing that especially in this tournament this year.
Yeah, do you have any theories of why that? It wasn't that long ago that Canada could roll out Carey Price, Roberto Luongo, and Marc-Andre Fleury. And before that, it was Martin Brodeur. And before that, it was Patrick Waugh. Like, that Canada's always had the very best goalies in the world. And with all due respect to Jordan Binnington, Aiden Hill, and Sam Montembeau, like, this isn't the same. And there's been, even like at the world junior level, there's been years that's been a weakness for Canada. Do you have any theories of, like, why developmentally that's happened?
A couple. There's one where it's just the nature of life and cycles. And you do have those in hockey in different positions. Number two, Sidney Crosby. So prior to
his fault?
The lockout, what's that?
It's his fault.
it is a little bit, because kids in this era grew up watching Sid. They didn't grow up watching Patrick Waugh, or they didn't grow up watching Marty Brodeur, where Carey Price did. So what happened is the best players want to score goals now. There was a time in Canada the best players wanted to be a goalie. And that cycle takes a generation to change. And there will be a great Canadian goalie coming through again at some point, but the development model is a little bit different. USA Hockey, Russia, Sweden, Finland, they all have national programs for their goaltenders, and they kind of move them through. And in those real serious development age of 17, 18, Canada has major junior. And the USA has college, which has allowed the Swaymans and the Ottingers and the Hellebucks to develop into their early 20s, where here in Canada, you play junior hockey, you're done at 20, you better go play pro hockey or you're out. So there's a developmental issue later in the teenage years here in Canada, but now that they can go and play at U.S. college, that's probably going to change, and then that can be the catalyst to find that next Hellebuck. If Hellebuck came out of as a 19-year-old and had to play pro hockey 20, but he doesn't make it. He had to go to UMass Lowell to develop and get better. So that's the main reason. But on top of it, there hasn't been a Canadian goalie for this generation to look up to. They all wanted to be Sid, and now they all want to be Connor McDavid, the best athletes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, send them to Hockey East. did a whole segment.
It's funny you mentioned that about like looking up to Sid, because I also saw, obviously, Russia's not in this tournament, and we don't know when they're going to be back in international hockey, but I saw someone tweet out like what Russia's roster could have looked like for this tournament if they were in it. And you're like, wow, that is shockingly shallow at center and loaded on the wings. And it's like the same thing. It's everyone wanted to be Ovechkin. So, like, there isn't this generation of great Russian centers where, like, their number two center for this tournament would have been either Ivan Barbashev or Pavel Buchnevich behind Malkin, who's obviously, you know, into the twilight of his career. And it's like, those guys are both better as wings anyways. Like, so I think that's kind of something similar. Razor, yeah, I don't know if you had any doubts about what the intensity level of this tournament would be. I really didn't. Like, I figure when all these guys are saying it, when they get into that national team uniform, they basically treat it like the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, they take a ton of pride in that. So it doesn't really matter what the name of the tournament is. But have you been at all surprised? Has it even exceeded your expectations? Obviously, none of us expect three fights in 9 seconds, but
No, that's brilliant. But I think we talked, like, I didn't really know what it was going to look like. I agree the intensity. Like, I talked to a few of the guys and you know, how's everyone building up to this? And they're like, oh no, this is going to be real. This is legit. And it's going to be pretty fun. I didn't underestimate, because I knew it was going to happen once we saw it, but we haven't seen best on best for so long, like a whole, and the game has changed so much since 2016 that I knew it was going to blow my mind, but it's still, so to your point of being underestimating, the pace and how good these guys are and the margin of error, which all of that encompasses ramping up the intensity. And all four games so far, or six games, have been awesome. And they've all been good, like, hard fought. No one's giving an inch. And now the U.S.-Canada game gets played, and you see the extra intensity. It's not that Finland and Sweden doesn't want it. It's just, like, the energy around being in the building and the excitement and it's been great. I mean, to this point, and again, if we can find a way to get Canada U.S. in the final again on Thursday night, I mean, the tournament's perfect.
Yeah, and I have to ask you this. Have you ever been in a group chat where they were talking about starting the game off with fighting?
Well, I certainly would have been if I lived in an era where phones were a thing, but I didn't.
You're so, right. Oh, my goodness. Look at me. I'm so young that
I didn't have a phone, by the way. Yeah, until I was 20.
I forgot
years
that
old,
there was right? a time before we could text each other.
Oh, it was such a great place. You guys will never know, but it was a wonderful place in the 90s, this world.
Yeah, so you, the answer is no. So you are broadcasting. Tuukka is broadcasting as well, right, for the Finland stuff, the Finland games?
He's going to be on TNT, yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be around. I think he's just going to all the parties, but yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think he's doing some studio work for the Canada-Finland game. Yeah.
Correct. He's doing studio on Monday morning to help out the guys there with the Swedish or the Finnish pronouncements.
All right. Razor, if we can squeeze one more in here before we go to break, I do have to get a Bruins thought, because obviously they've now been off for a week, so I think we've all had a little bit of time to maybe decompress, take a step back. I'll let you put it in your own words, but have you changed anything about how you feel about this team and how they should approach the trade deadline, which is now going to be just 7 games away once they get back from this break?
So I think it's still early for them to decide what they're going to do at the break. I think 7 games is a long time. It does, you know, it's going to go fast and it's going to be important, but if they go 6-1 or they go 1-6, it's completely different. And yes, I've continually said I still think this team's in it. I watched Charlie McAvoy play against the best players last night, and he's running everybody over, and he's in everybody's face. And I think when he comes back from this, he's going to be feeling a pretty good about his game. Hampus Lindholm's going to be back. Brad Marchand continues to play. He doesn't have to get fired up again to have a great 7-game break and then 25-game break here at the end of the season. So I think, listen, either way, I guess this is the best way to put the break in my position on that. Either way, there's not a lot there. Either way, it's a business kind of deal for business kind of week for the Boston Bruins, and who's signing, who isn't, and then getting assets for the guys that aren't going to sign or you don't want to sign going forward. Beyond that, there's not a lot you're going to do one way or the other, and you're really treating Hampus Lindholm as your deadline deal.
All right. Thanks a lot, Razor. We'll see you in studio next week.
Yes, gang. Good talking, and enjoy the rest of the show.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That's Andrew Raycroft. We got to hit a break here. Obviously, we went a little long, but we'll be back with hour 2 of Sunday Skate coming up next.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.